A tremendous hymn of testimony. Truly, there's much ahead of us that is glorious if we could only see it by the eye of faith. May the Lord help us to do so and be quickened by the great truths of the gospel. This morning, we are turning again to the discussion that our Lord had with Nicodemus. We have looked at the earlier part of this section, these 21 verses. Today I want us to begin our reading at verse 18, and that we will read down through verse 21. Some would say that he wasn't speaking to Nicodemus this whole time, but I don't see any reason grammatically why you would say that. When you actually look at it, there's no break in the narrative. He is talking about faith and the coming of Christ and salvation in verses 15, 16, and 17. He talks about condemning the world in verse 17, and then he expounds on that in verse 18 and 19, and then he concludes in verse 21. So I would say to you that all of what we have here is answering the questions of Nicodemus concerning our salvation. So let's begin our reading here at verse 18, and we will read down through verse 21. He that believeth on him, that is on Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. May the Lord indeed help us this morning as we study his word together. Let's now, with the open page before us, seek his face that he would speak to us from his word this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning thanking thee that we have a copy of thy word, that we have a copy of this discussion, this instruction given to Nicodemus by our Lord. We come to thee and confess that apart from the moving of thy Spirit, this book remains a dead letter to us. Apart from the moving of thy Spirit, we will not see with the eye of faith those treasures that thou hast written in thy word. We come this morning asking, O Lord, that you would glorify yourself in our midst by speaking to us from thy word, that thy Spirit would come and apply it to every heart, that we could go away from the house of God this morning rejoicing, knowing that we have met with thee. Lord, you know the needs of every heart here. There may be those like Nicodemus who need salvation. There may be those who are doubting the salvation that they already have. There may be those who need courage to say to Nicodemus in their own family, to say to the Nicodemuses of this world, what our Lord said to this man that night. Lord, come. You know the need of every heart. And we would ask that you would speak to those needs even this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I realize that because, as we said earlier, illness and the weather have kept us apart over these past few weeks, that what I'm saying now about Nicodemus may be what you're hearing for the first time. Nicodemus came to our Lord, and he recognized that our Lord was indeed a teacher come from God. He saw his miracles. We don't know which miracles they were. The miracle that we know of in John's gospel at this point is one that took place in Cana, not in Jerusalem. But there were many miracles he did in Jerusalem, and Nicodemus knew of them, maybe even beheld them, and he came and he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. When our Lord speaks to Nicodemus, he tells Nicodemus there is something that he's lacking. Oh, he was right in what he said about our Lord, but he didn't go far enough. And Nicodemus needed two things to get into the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he needed an internal change. He needed to be born of God's Spirit. He needed a spiritual birth that came from heaven. And so you find in our Lord's dealing with Nicodemus, beginning at verse number 3 down through verse 10, he is explaining that spiritual birth. It is that spiritual birth that gives life so that you can do what he then says to Nicodemus needs to be done. The spiritual life sets the heart free. The spiritual life brings conviction of sin and points to the one who gives eternal life. And so there is an internal change that must take place, a new birth, but there is an external object for our faith, an external object for our faith, where our faith is not in ourselves, our faith is not in our repentance, our faith is not in our faith or any religious works that we do, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what you have then, beginning at verse 11, and taking you all the way down through verse 18, our Lord is explaining the gospel to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must believe this if you're going to have eternal life. Those are the two things that Nicodemus needed. And those two things are the things that everyone in this world needs. Every sinner in this world needs to be born from above, and every sinner in this world needs to believe the gospel. And it's that new birth that gives them the power and the ability to believe on Christ and to trust him. At this point in our study, we have concluded really at verse 18. I went back and read it just to get the flow of the context. I want us this morning to look at verses 19 to 21. Nicodemus is now without excuse. Before this information, he had these truths. They were written in God's word. As Paul wrote to Timothy, the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And at that time, the scriptures Timothy had were the Old Testament. The Old Testament teaches both the need for the new birth. It speaks of the new birth in terms of circumcising the heart, turning the heart of stone into a heart of flesh, or the writing of God's law upon the heart. All of those are ways of expressing the new birth. And the Old Testament speaks of the need of a Savior, the gospel. And all the way through the Old Testament, you have sacrifices being offered that would picture the work of Christ as he would give himself an offering for sin. Yet, even though Nicodemus had the Old Testament, it seems that either he missed the message of salvation that was in the Old Testament, as many of the Pharisees did because of their own works religion, or he did not apply that message to the one who was standing before him. In other words, he didn't see that the one standing before him was the Savior that he needed to trust. He was a teacher come from God who could do miracles. But he was more than that. He was the Savior of his people. And Nicodemus needed that. Now both truths have been laid before Nicodemus. And what you have in verses 19 to 21 is the application of these true religious truths to the heart of this religious man who was lost. You would think that all would embrace these two truths in order to obtain eternal life. But our Lord clearly uncovers the depravity and the perversity of the human heart. The decision of Nicodemus is that which faces every individual in this meeting, as well as every individual in our community, in our country, and in the world. If you know what Nicodemus knew intellectually, that you need the new birth, and if you know that you need Christ as your Lord and Savior, the question is, what will you do with that knowledge? For those who have embraced Christ, and they can testify that they have been born from above and that Christ is their Savior, there is an application to our hearts concerning what our Lord is saying about the hearts of men. You and I are to preach this gospel as our Lord did to Nicodemus, with the understanding that God can bring them in. God can save. He can take any sinner, no matter how bad they are, he can cause them to be born from above, and they will believe on Christ. There's evidence later on in the gospel that this very man, Nicodemus, did believe on Christ, did separate himself from the status quo of the leaders there and defend Christ and went to the cross to take his body and to give it a proper burial. We must not reject this message that was given to Nicodemus, but instead we must accept Christ as he's freely offered to us in the gospel. And so this morning I want us to think on what it is for the human heart to at times reject Christ and the human heart to receive the gospel of Christ. We're looking at verses 19 to 21. And in verse 19, you have the sinners who eschew the record. God has given us a record and they stay away from it. They don't want it. Our Lord says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Now, what is the light? I would suggest to you that the gospel of Christ is the light. Now, in Scripture, the light can refer to, in a figurative sense, the holiness of God. John uses it that way in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. God's Word can also be the light. You have that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Psalm 119, it talks about the Word of God being a light to our path, the lamp to our path. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, if men do not believe the Word and speak according to the words, because there's no light in them, there is light that comes to us from God's Word. Peter refers to that as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells you to pay attention to this book until the day dawn and the morning star rise in your heart. The Word of God is light. We can say even God's people, once they're saved, become light. They're the light of the world, according to Matthew chapter 5. Read the Beatitudes. Anyone that has that heart condition that is described in the Beatitudes is a changed man, a transformed man or woman, and they become a light to the world as to what God can do. When we come to this passage of Scripture, he has already been describing the salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, through himself. And I would suggest to you that that is the light that he is referring to. That is what is used at times to refer to the gospel. Light is what is used at times to refer to the gospel. I took you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 to show you that this morning in our scripture reading. Paul speaks in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now we know that Christ is the light of the world. We see that in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He came into this world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light was shining in the darkness, and he came into this world. But it's not just his being that is the light. It is the gospel that he provides for us in salvation. So Paul says in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in verse 6 is the same as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in verse 4. What is the good news? It is what Christ has done. It's not enough that you see him as the Son of God. It is not enough that you see him as the Son of Man. You must see him as the Savior. You must come and embrace him. You must have that light shining in your heart. The gospel of Christ is this light that is being spoken of. And yet he also speaks of the depravity of corruption in the heart. Look at what he says in verse 19. Men love darkness. What a man loves speaks about his heart's motivation, does it not? Men love darkness. This darkness could be a reference to the rebellion against God's law. That is truly darkness. It could also be a darkness concerning the religious perversion of that law. That's what was going on with Nicodemus. He thought that by the keeping of the law, he could get saved. That's darkness. And when you go through the earth today, and you look at the unsaved heart, you find that there are multitudes who think that they can get to heaven by their own good works. What darkness. And men love that darkness, our Lord says. Nicodemus was in that darkness. It was a religious darkness. It was a darkness based on human effort and human works. And he was loving that darkness. Because of this love, they do evil. Men follow their hearts. And that's what it says here. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They were evil. The love of darkness produces evil deeds in the heart. And then you have his verdict upon that, the verdict of condemnation. That's their reward. Condemnation is a courtroom term, and he's using that term here. This is the condemnation. Condemnation is the opposite of justification. We have said that justification is God declaring someone to be righteous or treating someone as righteous. And so you come into his courtroom, you come in guilty, and yet he treats you as if you're righteous. Somehow in the mind of God, he's able to remove your sins. He knows them, every one. But he's able to remove your sins, and he's able to treat you as righteous. Now, how does he do that? We know that the key to that is indeed the work of Christ on the cross. That because Christ died for our sins, he can no longer see our sins in us because those sins have been removed, have been punished in the blood of Christ, in his atoning work on the cross. But because we're in union with Christ, another thing has happened. We are now viewed as righteous as his son. We are justified. We are declared and treated righteous by God. Now that's the opposite of condemnation. What is condemnation? You come into God's courtroom guilty, and he declares you to be guilty. You come in unrighteous, and you are treated as if you are unrighteous because that is what you are. Condemnation is exactly what men are before a holy God, and when they reject the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their salvation, all they have left are their works. They are condemned. And that is what our Lord says to Nicodemus. What a warning. Nicodemus, you've done so much. You've studied God's word. You've separated yourself from things in the world. You're a Pharisee. You're a ruler among the Jews. You couldn't get to the position you were in if you were living like a Gentile. You have separated yourself. You're walking according to certain truths. But Nicodemus, you haven't believed on me yet. And if you don't believe the gospel, you are still condemned. You're condemned. Condemnation is the only verdict to the unrepentant. It's the only verdict. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, that is Christ, and his gospel has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Sinners eschew the record of God. They don't want it. The light is shining, and they close their eyes to it. Then you have the Savior's explanation of man's rejection. He goes further with Nicodemus, and you see that in verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Men hate the light. We have defined the light as the gospel of Christ. Men hate the gospel of Christ. A man who loves darkness will hate the light. And the same depravity of heart is being described in negative and in positive terms. In negative terms, they hate the light. In positive terms, they love darkness. If you're loving darkness, you're going to hate the light. If you're hating the light, you're going to love darkness. And so in verse 20, he points to the hating of the light. They hate the gospel of Christ. Would you note they don't come into that light? Men do not approach the light. That is the gospel of Christ. Some people do not approach because their evil heart cannot conceive of the gospel. You tell them the gospel and they still won't believe it. They have a works mentality, and they've been trying to work the way to get to heaven all their life. And then you come and you speak about another gospel where someone else has done the work for them. And they look at you like you're strange. They look at you like you've come from outer space and that you're coming with a message that certainly can't be true of God. That there is a way of salvation that another produces for us and is found in Jesus Christ. Their hearts can't conceive of that message. So they don't approach the light. They don't want it. And then we have some who do conceive of it. They could explain it to you. They could give to you exactly what the Lord gave to Nicodemus. They could cross every T and dot every I, but they still won't approach the gospel of Christ. They still won't approach this way of salvation. They're bound by the darkness. The world will not expose the darkness of man, but the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel will expose error and sin in order that men might desire the remedy. There's no way you can come in to this light without feeling your sin. There's no way you can come into this light without knowing you're condemned. This light of the gospel tells you your way of salvation doesn't work. You must have Christ and his salvation. Would you know, thirdly, men do not want the revelation of the light. The light of God's holiness and God's word reveals sinfulness of man, but the light of the gospel also reveals something. It reveals the corruption of salvation. Man is trying to earn salvation by ignoring the true interpretation of the law. The law of God would tell you, you can't do it. The law of God would scream in your ears, quit trying. You failed already. You're under condemnation. But men don't listen to it. They twist the law. They make it of none effect. They come to some law and they twist it to the point that they think that they can do it. Usually they take the law of God, which deals with internal and external works, and they just make it external. Well, God says you're to love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Certainly that will show itself externally, but it's internal. So we have people who think they keep the law of God because they've made it all external. Our Lord in Matthew chapter 5 explained the law of God to those that were listening to his sermon. And he made it very clear it's not enough just to do externally what God says. You must do internally what he says. So if in your heart you murder someone, you're angry with that person, it's the same as killing them in God's eyes. That's not the same in society's eyes, but it is in God's eyes. You've sinned. And if you look on a woman to lust after her, he says, it's the same as if you committed adultery with her, even though you haven't touched her. Because in God's eyes, he sees the heart. The law of God wasn't just dealing with the outer man. It was dealing with the outer man and the inner man. And when you begin to apply God's law to the heart, to the motives, to the desires that are in your inner man, certainly we are all condemned. The law of God, if we would listen to it, it would tell us we are condemned and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, that is the light of the gospel. Neither cometh to the light, that is the light of the gospel. Why? Because his deeds are going to be reproved. Light of the gospel is going to show you that you have failed, that there is no other way. That's why God sent his only begotten son. That's why he gave his only begotten son. There was no other way for salvation. Thirdly, we can say that those who truly trust in the gospel, that they do evidence their reception of that gospel. They give evidence. Look at what verse 21 says. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those who come to the light show it. True believers do the truth. That's what our Lord says. He that doeth the truth. The word do means a continual doing. He is continually doing the truth. The truth could refer to the honesty of embracing what we are apart from Christ and the embracing of Christ in salvation. The word doeth, as I said, is in the present tense, meaning continually doing. So the doing could also mean that we have the truth, which would have some reference to embracing the Word of God and the gospel of Christ. In other words, you have the truth of the gospel, and you're doing it, you're embracing it, you're making something of that in your life. Nicodemus, do you have that? Well, he had the gospel at that moment. The Lord gave it to him. You need the new birth, and you need to have this faith in the only begotten Son. Nicodemus, are you doing the truth? He that doeth the truth does what? He comes to the light. True believers do the truth. True believers come to the light. The light of God shows that they have turned from their sin, but the light of God also reveals that they are actively believing in the gospel. So this morning we have a real gospel, Christ's atoning work. Do we believe it? Are we coming to that light? Are we allowing that light to, as it were, sift through our own works and make us trust in what Christ has done? Or are we still staying in the darkness and saying, I don't want that gospel light. I don't want it condemning me. I don't want it showing to me that I have failed. A few minutes ago, we were around the Lord's table. And as we came around the Lord's table, we had to each one, if we were properly coming to the table, we had to each one admit the fact that we were condemned. We had to each one admit the fact that we had sinned and broken God's law and that He was angry with us. And that in the work of Christ, in His shed blood, a propitiation was made, a gospel was made, as it were, that truly shines light on our hearts and makes us every time we come to the table admit our sin. And yet at the same time, the response of our heart is that we're believing on Him. We do come to the table. We do embrace the gospel, whether it be in symbolic form or the reality of it. We believe on Christ. We're not afraid of that light. And that light is shining today in many a church. And they don't come to that light. They don't want that light. They come in and they go out still trusting in their work, still trusting in what they have done, not trusting in what Christ has done. For the charismatic movement, many of them are trusting not only in their own works, they're trusting in some spiritual experience they have had. You wouldn't even know Christ had come and died when you hear many of them talk. I've had a miracle. I've spoken in tongues. I've had this warm feeling all over me. And as they describe these things, you would think that's what saved them. That is what God looks at, and God sees that. And now God says, all right, you don't have sin, and that is your righteousness. But it's not your righteousness. There are some evangelicals who, in turning away from the gospel, turn to their works, and everything is about their repentance. They talk about their repentance, they build up their repentance, they talk about their good works, and when you listen to them, they use part of what the scripture says, that is the part that speaks about your need to repent and your need to believe, but when you actually listen to them, there's nothing they're believing. What is it about Christ you're believing? What is it about that gospel that you're believing? Have you come to believe in Christ? Do you have Him? Is His blood washing you clean? Do you know that righteousness that God has given you in heaven? Are you trusting in that? There are many today who are not trusting in the gospel, and they don't want to come into that light. They want to stay in the darkness. But if you stay in the darkness, you perish. Would you know, thirdly, not only do true believers do the truth and true believers come to the light, true believers are changed by God. Look at the end of the verse. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The word in could perhaps better be translated by God. God did the work in the hearts. Isn't that where he started with Nicodemus? Nicodemus, God needs to do a work in your heart. Nicodemus, you need to trust in a work outside of your heart, that is the work of Christ on the cross. Are your works wrought of God? Did he do a work in your heart? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus? Are you trusting in Christ? Believers are not afraid of coming to the light because the light not only reveals their sin, but also reveals that their sins are removed in Christ. The light demonstrated that they are God's people. The light demonstrated that indeed this is wrought in their hearts by God. They have stopped trusting in their own works. They have been given power and life to trust in the work of someone. In this case, Nicodemus had seen him, but he had not yet gone to the cross. In our case, we have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're trusting in his cross work to atone for our sins. And if you're trusting in the cross work of Jesus Christ alone to save you, God has wrought something in your heart. You've been born from above. You've had this spiritual birth. Because every unsaved man stays in the darkness and he only trusts in what he has done. You and I are called upon to trust in what Christ has done, not what we have done. Nicodemus, are you one of God's people or not? Nicodemus, have you had this birth? Nicodemus, are you trusting in the atoning work of the only begotten Son? Is that where you are, Nicodemus? If you are, something has been wrought in your heart by God, and you will not be afraid to come into the light. This morning, are you Nicodemus? Have you come to trust in the work of Christ and the work of Christ alone? It's freely offered to all of us. If you're trusting in the work of Christ alone for your salvation, you have been born of God. God has done something in your heart. But if you're not trusting in the work of God, no matter how many religious deeds you have done, you're still like Nicodemus. You know the need for the new birth. You know the need for the gospel. And yet you won't come into the light and embrace that gospel. The evil one has still blinded your eyes, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ would shine into your heart. Are you one of God's people, Nicodemus? Are you one of God's people, listener, this morning? Have you come to trust in him? You say, I have trusted in him. I am trusting in him. The heart condition is still not perfect. The heart condition still fights with sin. The heart condition hasn't left me in my walk perfectly, but I'm trusting in the Savior who is outside of me. I'm trusting in the one at God's right hand who intercedes for Savior. That is where my trust is. Then, my friend, you have eternal life. You have it. You don't have to be afraid of coming into the light. Embrace it. Enjoy it. You have eternal life. It's found in Christ. It's found in Christ. You look at sinners, and they may be very hard-hearted, like the Apostle Paul. And yet the Lord met the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and the Apostle Paul, who at that time was Saul of Tarsus, a great persecutor of the church, he was smitten. The great light shined upon him. He believed. He embraced that light. Forever was changed. And then his ministry was one to go and to open the eyes of the Gentiles that they too might see the light, that they might embrace it and be changed. You and I are called upon to go and to preach this gospel as was preached to Nicodemus. And you say to people, well, they don't want the light. Well, why don't they want the light? They've never been born from above. They're still in darkness. All they've known is works religion. That's what they're going to trust. And we go out, and can God save this man? Can God make these bones live? Was the question given to Ezekiel? And you look at those in your family. You look at those in the workplace. You look at those in community round about us. Can God make these bones live? Yes, he can. Every soul that is saved has been wrought upon by God. And what we're seeing in a place like Nepal is God's Spirit moving. Men and women, boys and girls being born from above, and what are they doing? They're embracing Christ as their salvation. Their whole religion beforehand was a religion of works and mysticism, what they had. Now they're trusting in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And whether God saves by one or two, or whether he saves by a whole multitude, it's still the work of God. And those who are born from above have had this work wrought in them. So this morning, you say, I don't believe. Then where do you need to go? Where do you need to go? Go to God for the new birth. But don't sit on your hands. Go to Christ for salvation. Go and embrace him. Go and ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. Come and say, I'm done with works, what I have done. I'm coming now to trust in you, Lord Jesus. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will hear that call. Go to him. Go to him. And you will find that he will freely and willingly embrace you. Go to the light this morning and embrace the gospel as it's freely offered to you. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Are you in the light or darkness? You can be religious and still be in darkness. That was Nicodemus' problem. What brings you into the light is when you come to Christ and embrace him and his work of salvation. Come and embrace it this morning. Lay hold of Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And he will wash away all of your sins. He will in heaven give to you this perfect righteousness. Come and embrace Jesus Christ. This morning you say, I am in Christ. But don't be discouraged. Let your heart be broken, but don't be discouraged concerning loved ones who are outside of. He can bring them in. They're outside of Christ. He can bring them in. Pray for them. Set the light of the gospel of Christ before their eyes. And may the Lord give a great increase and in gathering. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If you're outside of Christ this morning and need help, please speak with me. But what you really need is not me, it's Christ. Go to him right now where you sit. Lay hold of him. If I can be of help, speak a word with me. And I definitely will take time with you around an open Bible. Come to Christ this morning. Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning thanking thee for the instruction that was given to Nicodemus. Truly, it couldn't be more clear. He needed a new birth in order that he might have spiritual life to embrace the gospel of Christ. Lord, you did do a work in his heart, we believe. We see that evidence later on as he came to the light, as he stood against the darkness of the religious teachers round about him. We do believe that this work of grace was done in his heart. Lord, may it be said of everyone here this morning that they've had that work of grace themselves, that they are trusting in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, we would pray for those this morning who are seeking thee. We ask that you would give them great grace to not stop seeking thee until they know that they have found thee. We're thankful that thou art found of those who seek thee in truth. And Lord, we pray that this morning thy Spirit would move and draw to yourself those sinners who need to know Christ as Savior. Lord, for those sinners who have found Christ as Savior, help us, Lord, to walk with thee. Help us to be those communicating this great gospel today. And may there be others coming to trust in thee because of the message that we give to them and as it's owned of God in heaven. Lord, come and help. Come and move. Come and get glory to thine own great name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Green, 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 green